thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings, welcome inside hour two of the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Oh!
Live from the Farmers Insurance Studios. Call 1-888-FARMERS to switch. You could save big on your auto insurance. It's really the best thing you can do with your phone in a few minutes. Just call 1-888-FARMERS. That's 1-888-FARMERS and start saving today.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
So no NBA games tonight as we get set for All-Star Weekend, but plenty of big NFL news and headlines to get to. And oh boy, you know, we got into it a little bit with Jason Cole a few minutes ago about the situation in Seattle with Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll. And, you know, this is the second time that Cole's come on with us, Mike, and said, you know, at some point, someone's going to go into Pete Carroll's office and say, dude, what are you doing? It's the best quarterback we've ever had. What is going on here? Why are you doing it this way? And the thing is, I don't know that you can still do that. I don't know that you haven't passed the point of no return. We haven't passed the Rubicon, and just something's going to have to happen because things were bad for a while, and that was the time when someone needed to go to Pete Carroll and go, dude, what are you doing? Why are you alienating our quarterback? Why are you doing this? He's the best thing that ever happened to this franchise. We won a Super Bowl. We should have won another one if you had run the football. Why are you trying to push him out of town? That was a conversation to have, you know, a month or two ago. Now you've let it fester. He's clearly not happy. The situation is bad. The schism between Wilson and the Seahawks is really, really poor. Everybody's chosen sides. Pete Carroll wants to run the football, brings in an offensive coordinator that's just going to piss Russell Wilson off. I think we've passed that point now. I mean, really, Russell Wilson's going to get traded, and it's going to seem like it's not real. It's going to seem like it's a dream, but it's going to happen. It's going to happen probably by the beginning of free agency, and Russell Wilson's going to have a new team. If I thought you could still go back and repair things, I'd say yeah, but I don't know that you can anymore, buddy.
No, other than saying, hey, Pete Carroll's leaving the building, I think it's a him or me. No, I'm serious. And we've said this for a couple of weeks, kind of talked about power struggles, and you've seen bit by bit little snippets of how much sway Pete Carroll has in the building, the fact that his kids have sway in the building, and that Russell felt he had no place. I think it's legitimately, if you got rid of Pete Carroll, all's good. Let me work with the new guy. But he's in a Bill O'Brien scenario with more success, let's put it that way, where O'Brien had so much power after Bob McNair died until he didn't. And I wonder if the same thing doesn't happen to Pete Carroll. It's one thing to keep winning divisions and you can shuffle up and deal and go back at it again. Eventually, the powers that be, one would think, look around and go, okay, this is great, but we're not getting over the hump again. Right, we're not back to Legion of Boom dominance. We're not in the Super Bowl, at least with a chance to win it. So the saltiness, I think, has to set in at some point. If nothing else, you start reading the message boards, draft day reference, boom. But the suggestion that, you know, from the agent of, hey, we'd love to stay in Seattle, but here's four teams. As soon as you name the four teams, you jumped over the imaginary line in the sand. That was it. Even if it didn't come out of Russell Wilson's mouth, everything he said about the firing of Schottenheimer to the appearance on the Dan Patrick Show, you want to talk about getting run for, 30 seconds of audio? That might be one of the greatest snippets of audio of the Dan Patrick Show's long, illustrious run here as part of Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartMedia conglomerate here, is that Russell Wilson clip talking about how he didn't know where he fit in Seattle, etc. So it led to a bunch of speculation. Eventually, here's our four teams. So I think you've gone past the point of no return again, unless you tell Pete Carroll to pack some boxes.
Well, and that's the point I'm going to make here. And this is why Russell Wilson's going to get traded, and it's not a reason that anybody is thrown out there yet, right? We've looked at everything from Russell Wilson's perspective, and we even got into, hey, who would you choose to keep, Russell Wilson or Pete Carroll, right? Obviously, I think I choose to keep Russell Wilson. But think about it this way, and you'll understand why Russell Wilson's going to get traded. At the heart of it, everybody wants to keep their job. When it comes down to it, whenever there's some kind of controversy at work, no one wants to be the one getting fired unless they're leaving and doing something better, right? When there's controversy around, you circle the wagons around yourself. And you know, now there's a Chris Berman, and no one circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills, TJ. You circle the wagons around yourself because it's about self-preservation, right? When things are happening, like, well, I want to keep this job here. I'm going to keep this job. I don't want to go anywhere. I don't want to get fired. Pete Carroll does not want to get fired as head coach of the Seattle Seahawks, right? Does not want to get fired. This is why he has to trade Russell Wilson. Because let's just say he doesn't, right? Right now, Pete Carroll has the power. Pete Carroll has all the power in the organization because Russell Wilson is on the trading block, right? Just the fact that that's the case right now, and we know the teams he wants to go to, and the Seahawks are doing things to minimize Russell Wilson's importance to the team, you know that Pete Carroll has the power. So he wants to keep that power, right? He wants to keep it. If they don't trade Russell Wilson, and this season goes horribly, right? This run-first offense doesn't go well. Chris Carson can't stay healthy. And either Russell Wilson bails him out by throwing 40 touchdowns or they just sputter their way to a 6-10 record. What happens after this season? That power flips, right? It switches. Suddenly, Russell Wilson's the guy going, I told you. And Schneider has to sit back and the Seahawks have to sit back and go, maybe we need to choose Russell Wilson over Pete Carroll. And suddenly, guess what? Pete Carroll loses all that power because he has a bad season. And when it comes to the dust settling, what are we going to do? Russell Wilson has the power. He's the guy saying, well, you know, we need a new head coach. We need something. It's not working anymore. And Pete Carroll is fired. Now, does Pete Carroll get a job someplace else? Probably, because Pete Carroll's a great coach. But does he want to leave? No. He wants to be the guy. If he doesn't trade Russell Wilson and they have a bad season, he's gone. He knows it. He knows he's gone. Russell Wilson wins and he's diminished. But if he trades Russell Wilson before, he's got the power and still it looks like it's Russell Wilson's fault, right? Because Russell Wilson's the guy that has come out saying, you'll have to ask them. I might want to be traded. Here's the teams I want to go to. Right now, there's a bit of back and forth of, yeah, well, why can't they work this out? But Pete Carroll's not getting any of the blame. This storyline has been, why is Russell Wilson unhappy? Why does Russell Wilson want out? If he trades Russell Wilson, it's not controversial because it's, well, we kind of had to do it. He didn't want to be here anymore. We got what we got. We're going to reinvent this team with a new quarterback, right? What else do you expect us to do? He wants out. So you can do it now and still not be the total bad guy. Yeah, you'd get questioned a bit of, you know what? Was Pete Carroll really know what he's doing? I can't believe he pushed Russell Wilson out. But generally, the overarching storyline is going to be Wilson was unhappy. He didn't like the way the team was being run. He wanted out. He was an upset player. He got his trade. Now the Seahawks, they couldn't make it work, and boy, that was too bad for them. But now Russell's got his new start, and now we figure out where things go here. And Pete Carroll is still the head coach of the Seahawks, and they try to reinvent with a new quarterback and redo the team how they want to. They're not spending all that money and giving it to Russell Wilson. They can spread it around. They can make the team deep and good again. You can bring back more guys, Legion of Boom, and suddenly you can be back to where you are. And you draft a new quarterback, and you try to hit it big again. That's the future for Pete Carroll and the Seattle Seahawks. It doesn't happen that way. If they keep Wilson, they have a bad year. It's too big of a gamble to say, let's go and see how 2021 works. Because if it doesn't, Pete Carroll's out. So this is why he's got to trade him now while he still has the power in the organization. Because as time goes on and they stink, he's not going to have it. And we're not talking about that part of it. But when you think about self-preservation, that's what pushes everything over the top that Russell Wilson's going to be on a new team sometime in the next 2 or 3 weeks.
You know what, though? If he does stay and they have a bad season, how many people will still turn it on Russell Wilson saying, well, he pouted all offseason? He created a problem in the locker room that it's not Pete Carroll's fault. We know how these narratives go, right? You saw how angry people got with Russell after the couple of comments. didn't really say anything too inflammatory, just, hey, I wanted a seat at the table. The big part of it was that we'd never heard Russell Wilson talk like that. And that's why it became such a big, right? I mean, it was always, hey, go Hawks. You know, we lose as a team. All of the usual platitudes that you would get from a quarterback. And then suddenly he broke character. Or just decided to voice what he may have been saying behind the scenes, whichever you want to prefer. And I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying human nature is someone starts acting differently, what do? You get suspicious. And if you're a fan base and that's been your guy, like, why doesn't he love us anymore? He's talking against the team. He doesn't want to be part of the team anymore. And all of a sudden you're angry at him. And if he stays for a year and it goes south, he'll get more blame than Pete Carroll will.
And so I don't know about that.
Then you can get your parting of the ways, and Pete Carroll still reigns supreme.
Yeah, but if they were just going into this season and it was going to be the same team, I would say, okay, you could be right about that. But they're changing the philosophy of the team. They are taking the ball out of Russell Wilson's hands. And that's the big thing that's going to get them all the blame, is that they want to run the football more. They want to be more of a power-type offense. And if that doesn't work, that's not going to be Russell Wilson's fault. What are people going to say? It's Russell Wilson's fault he didn't throw 4 touchdowns. He threw 24 times on Sunday. How many touchdowns are you going to throw when he throws the ball 24 times?
He's got to be more efficient, Smith. He had the running game he needed. He's got to be more efficient with those 24 throws.
He's got to go 24 for 24 for 4 touchdowns.
Damn, right.
Because they decided to make that change, that's what's going to be the killer thing. Because then you're, well, that's the blame on the offense. They shifted the offense and they changed things, and now it's not going right. And that's going to, Pete Carroll's going to lose all the power and all the momentum very, very quickly. And it's not that Russell Wilson's going to sit back and revel in it, but you see how he can do things now. You see how very publicly he can say some things and turn things. You think he's not going to try to turn that around behind the scenes? Of course he is. Of course he is. And we could be at this point next year, and you get the day after the regular season, and it's okay. It's him or me. I'm gone after this. I'm gone. Okay, Russell. All right, we're all good. We're all good. We'll get you a new contract. We'll get a new coach. And Pete Carroll's out, and that's how it's going to end.
More power. It's a beautiful theater to roll up, especially now that the Rams have shuffled up their quarterback position and look ready to try to make a run, you know, to a Super Bowl at SoFi. And the 49ers will make a move at their quarterback position. Jimmy G's not going to be their guy. And then Arizona added J.J. Watt. This is fun theater. Good luck, Pete Carroll. Good luck navigating this one.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. I mean, I am conditioned now that any day for the next 3 weeks, I can wake up and see a big trade in the National Football League. And it's probably going to be Russell Wilson. Like, I can wake up any day and think, all right, the most likely guy to get traded first is Wilson. Then the next guy will be Darnold. But I think we need a little bit more before it's one of those wake up in the morning and find out Deshaun Watson's traded. Like, for instance, we're going to need stories that, hey, the Texans are actually on the phone calling teams back now. But really, I mean, any day I can wake up and say, is today the day? Is today Russell Wilson traded today? Is he get traded? Where is it? It's Wilson and it's Darnold are those two guys that any day I can wake up and say, boom, this is going to happen and here's where it goes. And it will happen fast. All right, it's going to be behind the scenes. We figured out a trade. It's going on, and we're done, and we're doing it. We made this trade, and we're moving on. I mean, any day now, from now to the beginning of free agency, and probably a little bit after, we can wake up and see that story.
I have no doubt, and somewhere along the way, the Jets and Bears will be involved in one of those stories, which means all night long it'll be Bear Down, Chicago Bears, or video of Fireman Ed.
Hey, man, look, I wish the Jets could get Russell Wilson, but that's just not happening, man. I mean, just think that those draft picks they traded away for Jamal Adams are just going to send back. I mean, it's not there'll be more than enough suitors. There'll be more. I already know I'm going to wake up. It's not going to be the Jets, right? They're not going to have that embarrassing headline of, well, those 2 picks we gave you, just give them back to us and one more and you can have Russell Wilson. No, it's too embarrassing. I already know it's not going to be the Jets. I'm okay with it. I know it's not going to be the Jets because Zach Wilson's going to be a future Hall of Famer, so I'm all right with that.
Oh,
but it's
okay.
Not going to be the Jets. It's not going to be the Jets.
You just made a small jump there. I like that.
I did. It's a tiny jump, but it's still a jump nonetheless. So just think about that, Freeza. The self-preservation why Russell Wilson will get traded sometime in the next couple of weeks.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Call 1-888-FARMERS and you could save on your auto insurance. What else are you going to do with your phone in the next few minutes? Look at photos of things other people ate? Call 1-888-FARMERS to get a quote.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance. Exchanges or affiliate products not available in every state.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. Live from the Farmers Insurance Studios. Call Farmers today for a quote. And we have more big quarterback news coming up in a couple of minutes as, hey, somebody else is now out there for anybody to sign, and there's a couple of teams that should go after him. boy, anytime I say quarterback, Tyshir, I'm just going to keep playing that Tebow thing.
It's a Pavlovian experiment.
You said quarterback, boom, just going to keep hitting that Tebow
thing. I'll manifest it.
There.
You say city, he yells Cleveland. You say quarterback, it's yeah. Tebow.
Mike gets
yeah.
it.
Yeah,
it's
no,
word
no,
association.
I get it. And you say Batman, and it's, oh, why did I do that? I'm just so stupid. I'm stupid. Na, 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 Batman. Yeah, those are the three big Pavlovian things on the show. What the word I just said, city and quarterback, and suddenly, bing, 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 it just happens that way. Okay. But we lost a big legend today. You probably saw this story. Mark Pavlich, one of the best players, the Miracle on Ice team, Team USA, that won the gold medal in 1980, the Winter Olympics, died at the age of 63 earlier today. He was found dead at a treatment facility in Minnesota. Now, Pavlich has not had a great life. He is someone who really didn't like the spotlight, lived alone by himself after his hockey career was over, and had a lot of mental issues that manifested themselves in an assault from a couple of years ago with a guy he was ice fishing with. Potentially a lot of his family say, well, he had a lot of concussions, and we think he might have had CTE, and this contributed to his erratic behavior. He didn't come to a lot of the reunions for the Miracle on Ice team. In fact, when he came a few years ago, it was the story. Hey, Pavlich is here. Oh, my God, because they knew the guy was having a lot of trouble. He didn't see anybody. And details are not known. He was living at a treatment facility now because it was difficult for him to live on his own. And he was found dead earlier today at the age of 63. And, you know, Pavlich was a guy who he was one of the Coneheads on the Miracle team. And he assisted on Mike Arruzzioni's goal, had the main assist on Arruzzioni's goal. And he had a really good career in the years after the Olympics. Like, he wasn't on an NHL team after the Olympics. And he joined the Rangers, and he was a point-a-game guy for, like, 5 years. I mean, he had an outstanding 5 years, five-plus years with the Rangers after the Miracle on Ice happened for him. And, you know, then he ran into difficulty, later on in life. But he was a really good player. Man, he was tough. He was undersized. He was a terrific player. And, you know, growing up in New York, I rooted for the Islanders growing up, and, you know, it was Islanders versus Rangers. And the main thing is that Pavlich, look, I hated all the Rangers players, right? Obviously, if you're an Islander fan, I hated all the Rangers players. Couldn't stand them, right? The Islanders were excellence, and the Rangers were, hey, man, you know, we're the real stars. We're this. It's kind of like Yankees and the Red Sox, right? Like, the Yankees are the excellence. The Red Sox are the everyman team, right? And it was easy to hate all the Rangers. Like, all the guys, can't stand this guy. Mark Pavlich was really hard to dislike, you know, as an Islander fan. He was really hard because he was so good, and he always made the big plays, and he was someone that you could see, boy, this is a small guy, and he still plays big on the ice. He was a terrific, terrific player, and it's a sad story today, a sad ending to his life now at such a young age.
always tied to Herb Brooks. That's where he had his most success, obviously, Olympic team. And then with the Rangers, as soon as Brooks wasn't there, he started fighting with everybody. And that became a problem. 5'8", so he had a little bit of, well, the attitude that I bring to the table each and every night here on Fox Sports Radio. You're all taller than me. Doesn't matter. Yeah, I'd still knock you out. Personal life tragedy. I mean, you can go through the laundry list of stuff and the sad part of the later years of, you know, concussions perhaps leading to more brain trauma and then, you know, help mental health issues and the assault that you referenced. He also auctioned his medal off. As soon as you have to auction off the Olympic medal. But perhaps, I mean, again, you know, sometimes it's just financial. Sometimes it's I need to let go of this. I've had it long enough. Like, there's many ways those kind of things come to market. And nowadays, you know, the market being white hot, like we talked about that Tom Brady card yesterday, I wouldn't be surprised if a couple of guys were looking around at each other going, I can get generational wealth off my medal right now. But for him, as you mentioned, you know, there's just the part of the privacy and getting away from it that also was part of what he wanted to do later in his life. So hopefully they find some of the answers, the family that they need to find some peace. Hopefully, you know, unfortunately he didn't find that peace while alive. Reminder, always give out a call, you know, look in on your people. We've been telling you all during the pandemic, we're not out of it. And even once we're out of it, still check in on your people, damn it. But, yeah, the changes in his makeup and how he treated people, et cetera, is noted in pretty much every article you read about it. Watch a bunch of highlights, undersized, but still throwing his body around. A reminder to all of you as well, size of your heart can't be measured. Just like they said in Miracle.
You know, and let's you know, finish this conversation on a high note with Mark Pavlich and talk about the assist on the goal, because everybody remembers the goal, and it's a Ruzioni. He gets the puck. He's just inside the blue line, and he skates in, and he uses a defender as a screen, and he puts the puck by Mishkin for the goal that wins, that beats the Russians, right? Most famous goal in hockey history. And Pavlich makes this play happen. The United States dumps the puck in, but Russia gets to it and tries to get it out. And Pavlich, just his sheer desire, getting to a puck right before the forward comes back to grab the puck away, and then there's no play. Like, he gets all the way to the boards just a split second before the forward gets it, and he gives up his body right into the boards that he can just deflect the puck back where it gets to Ruzioni, and Ruzioni puts the puck in the net. I mean, that's one of those hustle, heart, timing plays where I got to get this puck, I got to keep it in, and that's, I'm going to give up my body here and go flying into the boards, and he makes that play happen. It's just a quick play where he gets it, and he deflects it off his stick and kind of shoves it out, and Ruzioni gets it and scores. But that is some kind of play, and we, you know, we don't talk about the setup of the play a lot, because that play is just, you know, Ruzioni goal is so iconic, and the shot of him and then Mishkin falling backwards after the puck is behind him. I mean, we have these images that are so great, but watch that play again and watch, just, he comes out of nowhere and he gets right in front of the forward, and he's able to grab the puck and flies into the boards. You can see him turn around, like maybe he's dazed a little bit, like, did I get it, and Ruzioni gets it and scores. It is some kind of play by Pavlich to make that happen. Without that, I mean, who knows what happens? I mean, clearly there's all kinds of jigsaw puzzle things that go into big plays, but Pavlich making that play got the puck to Ruzioni, and Ruzioni puts it in, and the best sports story of my lifetime is born.
Look at you.
Yeah.
You're like a little Jason Smith all over again.
Oh, man. I'll tell you, that goal is just something. The only goal Ruzioni had in the entire tournament. And, you know, it was there, and it was just some kind of play, man. I've been watching it again for the past 5 minutes going, this is Pavlich, just gets right there, goes flying into the boards, and there's a puck, and there's a Ruzioni, and he puts it in. Amazing.
See, that's what gets you on a team. Reminder, all you, tell your kids out there, man, heart, play through the reverberation of the whistle. Mm-hmm. If you're on the pitch, you got to use your body. Get in there. Don't be afraid.
We got more coming up in 90 seconds. Rest in peace, Mark Pavlich. Some kind of career he had. U.S. Miracle on Ice Olympic champion.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
So you just heard the story about Alex Smith released by the Washington football team. There's some fits for him, and I would sign him as a backup right now. Now, there's a good and rough part of this for Alex Smith because, you know, look, we spent a lot of time talking about him. He is, when you talk about perseverance, it's his picture in the dictionary, right? 17 surgeries he went through to try to get back on the field. He gets back on the field this year for Washington. While he didn't really play all that well, his leadership, his influence steadied the team. And look, and they wound up winning the NFC East, even though, look, they were terrible, but they wound up winning. And it's a great part of this story that is still not done being written for Alex Smith, because clearly the guy can still play. Is he going to start anymore? That's not going to happen. All right. Number one, he's not dynamic enough to be able to start. You need somebody more dynamic at quarterback, and you don't know if he's going to be able to make it through a season and not be hurt. Like, he missed a couple of games with a bone bruise this year, and so clearly, you know, look, you're 37, you've been through a lot just to get back. You only have so much football in you. But if he was someone to sign somewhere where he's a backup, and if he had to play a couple of games here and there, oh, I could see that easily, and I'd go after him. That's all good. I say, yes, sign me up for Alex Smith right now, where he could be a great influence in the quarterback room and on the team. And if something happened and your quarterback got hurt and he couldn't play for a week or two, hey, Alex Smith can come in and play a couple of games, right? There's many worse guys to have out there. As smart as he is, being able to pick up the offense right away, you wouldn't miss a beat. He's still mobile enough to be able to get outside the pocket and make plays. He's in a perfect situation right there. Teams like, you know, a return to San Francisco, where backing up Jimmy Garoppolo, where Jimmy's the guy, but if Jimmy gets hurt, then Alex Smith can get in. Miami, if something happens with Tua, you need to pull him because, look, Ryan Fitzpatrick wants to start somewhere again this year. He would be a great influence on Tua. If something happened, Tua's having a bad game, Brian Flores wanted to put Alex Smith in, that could happen. New England, if he was going to be the backup, mentoring whoever the Patriots got, whatever they wound up doing for the season, there are some big-time fits where he can be a mentor and a guy with a chance to play if it came to it. And that's kind of how you'd have to sell it to him. Say, listen, this is your best opportunity right now. You are clearly the backup. Clearly the backup. But if something happens and we get into a long run of inefficiency or an injury, you can play. And the teams where that's possible right there are San Francisco, Miami, and potentially New England, depending on what they wind up doing. So the team, look, many teams can take him as a backup quarterback and say, hey, you'd be great right here, man. You can back up our young guy. You can back up Jared Goff in Detroit. You can do so many places there would fit. But for him, he'd want the opportunity to play. And so where's the opportunity where I know I'm the backup, but I could get on the field? That's the best thing for him, and that's why those teams are the best fit.
Yeah, I think when you look at a team like Jacksonville, whether Trevor Lawrence is ready or not, you look at where the other rookies come in, the mentor role, the Ryan Fitzpatrick Miami role, and we still have to find a place for him. Denver has been rumored perhaps a little bit for the neck beard as he continues his journey. I'd like to see him in New England because I think that'd be fun. A couple of smart guys going at it in terms of setting up that offense. But San Francisco doesn't work for me, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
They're just coming off the season where the biggest complaint is they didn't have a ready quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So if Jimmy G's constantly hurt, the last thing I want is another guy that, let's face it, do I have great confidence over a long haul? And it's not a slight against the man. It's where his body is. Right?
I get it. But
the backup's got to be a more longer-term solution than, all right, he's a good stopgap for a couple of games.
Well, I think that's how you have to look at the backup, though. If your starter is out for the majority of the season, it's a lost season, right? I mean, no matter who you have as the backup, it's going to be a lost season. So you need to look at, okay, what's our best way to succeed if our quarterback gets hurt and misses a game or two here and there? Then Alex Smith can come in and play for a game or two. But if your guy's out for, you know, if Jimmy Garoppolo is, you know, gets hurt week 3 and doesn't come back until week 13, the season's over by then. You know, it doesn't matter who you have coming as backup. Who's going to suddenly grab the team by the scruff of the throat and say, "Yeah, no, I'm good. We're all good. I'm going in here, and we're going to be 8-1 while Jimmy Garoppolo's out." I don't think that's in the realm of possibility. You have to look at it as if our guy gets hurt for a couple of games, where we're not lost, and we could maybe split those games. If he's out for 2 weeks, we can go 1-1. You know, if he's out for a week, maybe we can squeeze out a win. That's kind of how I look at it as, all right, if you have the disaster scenario of a guy being out for the season, then there's nothing you can do about it. Well, but how can he keep you afloat for a couple of weeks?
Yeah, I think it's just more from the, as you're planning your squad, going to the quarterback room and just saying, all right, we got two guys. We don't know what we're going to get week to week from a health perspective. I can't do it. If I'm John Lynch and the brain trust there in San Francisco, because you know, look, you're banking on the rest of that squad to get healthy because they need Kyrie's sagebrush. I know I reference it with some regularity, but there's some bad stuff between that and the Chargers locker room. Those are two places you come and wipe it out. Because look at all the guys that missed ample time. They might have been okay had they not had Mostert, Debo, and Kittle all out. Maybe Jimmy G, they would have still been able to weather the storm. We'll never know. But that is certainly something in the offing. But to all the young players, I don't know that you can get a better guy in the locker room to work with him, except for maybe the aforementioned neckbeard.
Twitter,
same draft class, by the way.
Yeah, no, that is
2005.
Right. You think about that, man. That's a long time
ago. When Fitzpatrick was a member of the Rams to start things.
That was before Ryan Fitzpatrick was more than, you know, he's a smart quarterback. You know, he went to Harvard. You know, he's a really, really
at
smart
that point, he was just a jag who was one of the last cards inserted in the 2005 Bowman set.
Yeah.
Who the hell is this guy?
We got something fast we could put him in. Yeah, let's get him in. All right, great. We got him. We're all good.
Well, it was a bigger set, so they always had more rookies than the other stuff. So, like, you had guys that I barely got out of the first spring training game before they got – or training camp game. See, I'm in spring training mode.
Yeah.
But training camp game before they got cut. It's like, yeah, that guy never sniffed an NFL field again. But if you're a collector of this college, I got the card just for you.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Carmen live from the Farmers Insurance Studios. Coming up next, a college football story that just seems to get bigger and bigger every day. We got it next right here, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Call 1-888-FARMERS and you could save on your auto insurance. It's better than using your phone to see if your post got any likes again. Call 1-888-FARMERS to get a quote.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance. Exchanges or affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. Live from the Farmers Insurance Studios, where the University of Kansas has placed head football coach Les Miles on administrative leave, and there's going to be a full review conducted to determine the appropriate next steps on his future. This decision coming after a report into Miles' conduct while he was the head coach at LSU in 2013. Now, it was made public this week that on Thursday, a report from LSU showed that in 2013, an internal investigation at the school accused Les Miles of inappropriate behavior towards female students, including allegations that he contacted some via Facebook and text. He met them off campus. He kissed at least one of them. The report didn't find he had sexual relationships with any of the women, and Miles strongly denies kissing the student. But the punishment at the time for Les Miles was he's not allowed to be around female students by himself. Now, that should be the big thing that everybody takes away from this, is that, okay, so all this stuff going on, and I understand, but you have a head coach who is in charge of young men throughout this. He's the biggest person on campus, and you have to put out a rule saying he's not allowed to be alone with female students. You're so concerned about his behavior that you have to say you're not allowed to be around female students by yourself, but it's okay, you can still coach. And look, and I get it. It's such a big cliche. He was in the middle of a huge run at that time at LSU. He's won a national title. He's the best head coach they had. So we're going to find a way to keep him. But just think about that. He wasn't allowed to be alone with a female student, but it was okay for him to still be the head football coach. I mean, that's like everything that's wrong with sports, you know, all the way in one thing. And we've had so many stories about this the past few months and past few years that I just shake my head and go, at some point we're going to get it right, right? I mean, at some point. I mean, maybe not today, hopefully tomorrow, but clearly this is something that even just a few years ago, this was able to go by the boards.
8 hours of sexual harassment counseling, banned from the one-on-one interactions, as you said. 150-page investigative report into sexual misconduct at the school, and there was the then athletic director that recommended at the time that he be fired for cause. And then outside counsel decided that the complaints did not constitute sexual harassment under the law and that they'd lose and owe him $15 million. Well, there you go. What's the cost? It's going to be a hell of a lot more than $15 million to all the universities involved. Because right now, you know, even though he's been placed on administrative leave, I got to imagine there's also a, hey, we got anything we need to look at here? And these are always the call to actions, the calls to action across the country. Whenever a new case like this emerges, it's the, all right, what's the skeletons? What do we got in our history? Have we had any investigations that we should be apprised of? Anything that's been untoward, that's been talked about in the hallways? Let's go open it up. Les Miles probably coached his last college football game.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's not like what saved him, and it's kind of ironic that what saved him last time was, hey, I'm in the middle of a great run here at LSU. I mean, in 2 years, he's 3-18, right? They were 0-9 last year. Okay, so it's not like, boy, well, he's a great coach at Kansas. Now this is where it could come full circle, and, well, you know what? You weren't winning games anyway, so now you're finally going to pay for what happened a few years ago. Could end up that way. We'll keep you posted on this story with more developments on it as it continues to come to us. But coming up next, hey, we're about positivity here on a Friday night, and we have a great story that everybody is going to love, I promise you. And it is all about getting past what first affected us about a year ago. That's coming up next right here on Fox.